Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. The iconic Classic Full Zip Hoodie is the jacket that started it all for American Giant. Custom heavyweight fleece and side panels for mobility make it the best hoodie ever. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing, like the premium Slub Crew Tee, no BS high-rise pant, and slim roughneck pant that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout.
The Burt Show.
Sometimes the universe gives you wins and losses all within the same 15 minutes, and I had that yesterday, man. Cinco de Mayo, man. My Cinco de Mayos now look very different than they did back in the day. I can't think of the last. I mean, back in the day, it was go to a bar, go to a Mexican, go to a bar, tequila, 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 hungover, okay? Those days are over now. So Amanda and her son, Asa, who's 4 years old, and I went to El Azteca yesterday to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, have ourselves a good Mexican, traditional Mexican meal. So we go over there, and as I walk in, the hostess goes, wait a second, I know you. And I'm like, yeah, hi. And she's like, aren't you the Burt's Big Adventure guy?
Aww.
Which I thought was so awesome.
That is awesome. Aww.
I wasn't Burt Show Burt. I was Burt's Big Adventure guy, which means so much more, right? So I was really feeling great about that. And then we get done with our meal, and, you know, Ace is 4 years old, so he's done in 15 minutes. So there's a mechanical bull right outside in the parking lot, right? But they have it. It's like a kid's mechanical bull. So they'll go really slow, and he's eyeing the thing, talks to the Sandy Springs Police Department that were there also, says hey to them, and then decides he's got the guts to go on the mechanical bull. So I'm like, I'll go over there with you, man. So we both take our shoes off. We get up on top of the thing. I get on just the inflatable part, and he gets on the bull, and he starts riding it. And the dude's being really cool about going super slow.
Well, I'd hope he wouldn't whip a four-year-old around. That would be pretty jacked
up. That would be messed up.
It would be funny.
It would be hilarious. A lot of people would take their kids over there.
That is a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment right there, man. Right? So Asa gets off of it, and I grab him by the hand, make sure he's safe getting off the inflatable, and he's putting his shoes on, and a guy comes up to me and he goes, oh, is that your grandson?
Ouch. Okay.
Universe giveth. Universe taketh away.
You got
what'd you say?
No. It literally came out like this. No. And Amanda put her head down pretending like she didn't hear it.
But she did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Whispered in her ear right after, I'm getting a facelift. All right, Kristen, quick reminder. This is important this week.
This is very important. You're going to hear it every single day on The Burt Show. So listen up.
As a public service, The Burt Show reminds you Mother's Day is only
5 days
away. Don't screw it up, dummy.
5 days. 5 days. And now the viral thing that I've been seeing all over my Instagram is them showcasing how long an epidural needle is.
Oh.
So now the whole thing is, like, you'll see an epidural needle, and sometimes it's a nurse holding it. Sometimes it's just a picture of one. And it just says, this is how long an epidural needle is. Get her the flowers on Sunday.
I'm looking at it right now. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a big old needle that goes into your spine, man, to numb your lower half.
Well, you know what? That must really suck.
I remember right? It. Yes.
I know. Wow.
That was the, aside them putting my son on my chest for the first time, that was when I really freaked out and I first started crying. So, because I had a planned C-section because Jimmy was breech. So I'm sitting there and Bart's holding my hands and you're kind of, you know, you're hunched over a little bit. They got you in the right position and then they stick that needle in your back, right?
Oh, no. Nope.
And, you know, I flinch and I couldn't control it. And the tears just started rolling down my face. Cause I'm like, oh no, I'm doing this. Like we're having a baby, like a baby is coming out. And again, to my nurse Kiki, she was phenomenal. And she goes, girl, you got this. And like, she gave me like the best pep talk. And I was like, okay. She's like, she goes, you're about to be so numb, you ain't gonna feel a thing. And I was like, all right, let's go.
Shout out to her.
I feel like those are like those scared straight movies back in the day when they were trying to keep you out of jail, showing you that epidural. You sure you want to have a baby?
Yeah.
All right, just take a look at this thing right here. Okay.
The Burt Show.
Is it about to get tense in here? So Jackson has called for a youth group intervention. None of us have any idea what's coming here.
It is time for a youth group intervention. And I'll be honest, this went differently during the planning phases in my head prior to me being here right now.
Can you clarify for new listeners who is in the youth group on The Burt Show?
The youth group consists of myself, Abby, Amber, Rebecca, and Katie, and Mike.
Yeah, the guy that was asked if he was a grandfather yesterday is not part of the youth.
I think you just missed the cutoff.
Yeah. But it's not in my head, so we're good.
And, you know, I had this whole thing planned out and was real excited about it. And I think you're going to find out soon why I'm so apprehensive right now, because I would like to call one Miss Rebecca Lancaster to the mic, please.
Rebecca to the stand? Approach the bench.
You were going to say stand. I was going to be like, to the main stage.
Before you get into it, I have a question for Rebecca also. Did you pick up some kind of Coca-Cola endorsement or something? Or are you just a
Coke enthusiast?
Yeah, are you a Coke enthusiast? Because you look like a NASCAR that's been sponsored by Coke this morning. You got your Diet Coke hat on. You got your Coke long sleeve half shirt on.
Hey, you should have seen her in the bathroom earlier. It was snowing.
Guess who went to World Cup?
That joke really almost didn't land.
No, just made it.
When I got dressed this morning, I didn't realize that I was like a Coke sponsorship. Yeah, I went to World of Coke for the first time and I bawled out.
Oh, you're enthusiastic. Don't spread it out over the course of weeks. Do it all in one day. All the new merch.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Jackson, back to you. Obviously serious.
So, you know, being part of the youth group comes with its responsibilities. We have ourselves a podcast that we record every Tuesday called The Personality Hires. And, you know, sometimes here and there people have to miss an episode because they have, you know, other commitments. But it becomes a problem when you're a repeat offender, okay? And that's why I've called on Rebecca.
Boy. Is the timing of this really bad considering the segment she did 45 minutes ago?
No, it's not. It's perfect because she's good. She got good news, so he can crap on her now.
Yeah, but she was going through a really tough time.
Yeah, and I didn't really know that prior.
So I was coming in real hot, and then I heard that say.
Let's just pretend, for those that weren't listening earlier, let's go ahead and pretend it didn't happen.
Okay.
Go ahead with your intervention, and then we'll circle back to what Rebecca told us 45 minutes ago to make you look extra douchey.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. All right, so here's the thing, all right? Now, Rebecca has found herself a new man, okay? And we are all happy that she has found herself some love. She's hanging out with this guy a lot. We're all super happy for her. But there's two problems that I think a few of us on the youth group are having. One.
Oh, are you speaking on behalf of the youth group?
Yes.
I don't know where this is coming from.
No.
This is Abby publicly trying to hang Jackson out to dry, even though she clearly has been in on these conversations. This is what she does.
I'm excited for my friend Rebecca, who's found love.
Thank you, Queen.
Don't let her do this to you,
Jackson.
This
is so great for her. I'm shocked that you're hanging out our friend Rebecca so publicly and shaming her.
Yeah, go ahead.
Considering everything she's been through.
Do you think, Jackson?
We collectively as a group have decided that there are two main offenses. One, if you are a repeat offender of missing out on responsibilities that we all have. And two, the bigger offense to me is if you are lying about where you're going and why you can't attend such events.
Yeah, I can't even turn my back on this because we literally had a Personality Hires podcast episode drop yesterday where we're just roasting her for 45 minutes. Where we're like, we can't believe Rebecca backed out on another recording again.
So you didn't know at the time also what Rebecca told us 45 minutes ago?
No, we literally found out with everybody else on air. We're like, should we cancel the 7C break?
God. This is such a great example. We'll get to this at the end of it here, of you just don't know what somebody is going through, so you shouldn't judge until you have all the facts. But continue to bury yourself.
Okay. So I came with receipts about how Rebecca has been a terrible friend to us lately.
Screenshots.
All right. Monday, April 21st, the day before Abby's birthday, they had plans to go see Pride and Prejudice in theaters and for their 20th anniversary of the movie. And last minute, Rebecca bails because she is going to go hang out with her man. Okay.
Okay.
That one's pretty straightforward. It was a last minute cancel, but she was honest about it. Okay. April 22nd, 10:19 a.m. It's Abby's birthday, a very special recording of our Personality Hires podcast. And Rebecca tells us, quote, I can only record for a quick bit, and then follows up with, but if you want to record without me, it's totally fine. No excuses given, just blatantly said that, okay?
What are the dates on these first two receipts?
So this was April 21st and then April 22nd, the day after.
Falls in line with what Rebecca told us 45 minutes ago. The timeline fits perfectly.
Nope, didn't have to say that part. Okay. then, the week after, it's Tuesday, April 29th, and she makes another excuse as to why she can't record that day, so we all decide to reschedule for Thursday, and she says, Thursday's great with me.
Can I ask a question at this point, when she bails three times now? The side conversations that are starting to happen on the youth group, are they like, what is going on? What? Are you guys starting to get angry at Rebecca? Are you starting to get just irritated at Rebecca? She's not accepting her responsibilities. What's the side conversations?
Well, you can listen to our side conversations literally on the Personality Hires podcast that was recorded on the Thursday where she bailed because I think Jackson is about to explain what happens next.
Yeah, so she says she can't record Tuesday, so then she agrees to Thursday, and then at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, she says, sorry, I have a family commitment to do. Okay, and we're like, what kind of family commitment? We know she's going to hang out with her dude. Mm-hmm. She just said family commitment. She's got to go pick this guy up from the airport or something. So we start recording, and then Mikey goes, oh my gosh. When all of the youth group went to Savannah for the St. Paddy's Day shenanigans, we all shared each other's locations with each other. And nobody stopped sharing their locations. So we start looking where Rebecca is.
We are tracking Rebecca as we're recording in real time. And where was she, Jackson?
Well, we thought she was heading home, and I was like, home is not the direction of the airport where she said she had to go. Turns out she was at the mall. Interesting. And we tracked her as she went her way through the mall, going around all these different shops.
Wow. Shut up.
That does not sound like the airport to me.
I hope lunch at Buffalo Wild Wings was everything you hoped it would be.
Sometimes when you're dealing with a lot, like a potential cancer resurgence, it's nice to just lose yourself alone in the mall without having to perform. Right?
Well, hypothetically.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Continue.
All of this to say is we're under the guise that she has canceled on these plans, somewhat important responsibilities because she's got herself a new man, which we love, but that was the guise as to what we thought was going on. We thought these were all excuses so that she could have a hot, steamy makeout at 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
God, I can only imagine the conversations between all of you guys while you're tracking her locations, getting angrier and angrier when you realize that she's not where you thought she was going to be.
So, first of all, my bad. honestly, a lot of these were because I was hanging out with a man. But, Jackson and I, yes, we made out. But it seems like no one else in the youth group is going to go further with me. So I am going to prioritize the person who will willingly do that. And I did lie about that Thursday. I told Abby that I had family business. And she walked in and I told her the truth, which is that I had to pick up my sister. But then she immediately said, oh, you're picking her up from the airport? She's coming from Alaska. And I just said, yes. Which was not true. And as soon as I said it, I was like, okay, well, that's a lie. But I was very stressed out that day and I was frazzled. And I was like, okay, I'm going to the Pinot period party on Sunday. She'll see that my sister who is here is not my Alaskan sister. It's my sister who I'm taking to the mall to go get an outfit for the period Pinot party to distract myself from the fact that I'm afraid I have cancer.
Oh, boy.
So you guys all thought that I was just shacking up with some guy. But no, I was stressed stressed out because I thought I had cancer. Katie hit him.
Bad people, bad people, bad people.
Now, I knew your work wife wanted in on this because you, Katie was the only one you confided into as to what was going on.
Yes.
So, Katie, you were here. You were listening to them record
yes.
their Personality Hires podcast, and you're hearing them rail on Rebecca. You're watching them track her location through the mall.
And I'm like, this is just a major offense because if only you all knew what was really going on. But I was sworn to secrecy not to say anything.
You're
so I'm like,
friend.
I'm not going to say anything. Maybe but I know the truth.
You're a good friend.
Maybe if our friend Rebecca opened up to us and allowed us to share her burdens, we wouldn't gossip about her behind her back.
Maybe. Maybe if you guys created more of a safe space for Rebecca, she would also tell you guys the way that Katie has. But clearly, she does not have that space.
Do you smell all that gas from the gaslighting in here?
So, are you done there? Or
yeah, we're done.
Okay. So, Rebecca, just quickly recap what you told us 45 minutes ago and how badly timed this segment is.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yes. I had a health scare where I got a mammogram with a suspicious lump, and I had been waiting this entire period to get those test results back, and I was very stressed out. So, yeah, I was pretty flaky, but I can't believe you guys did this to me.
Wow.
Haven't I been through enough?
She told us, like, last hour also, she was hitting Kristen with emails going, hey, I just want to let you know what's going on in my life. So if I'm flaking on things, it's because I'm stressed out about this. So Kristen has created that safe space for you.
Yes. And I was very grateful when I, you know, because I hit you up and you didn't go into detail, but you're just like, I'm dealing with a lot. And I was like, grace granted, you are totally fine whenever you're ready. Hopefully all works out. I'll be sending you positive vibes. And then what do your closest friends
now
do?
That's how you handle the situation. Take notes.
I truly thought this was a bulletproof segment. And I was so excited for it.
And yes, sorry, Rebecca.
This really is such a great example of how you just don't know what somebody is going through. And I think I've shared this story with you guys before, just to bring it full circle. When my friend Kid Craddock, my mentor, and this is a guy that I worked for in Dallas, but became more of a brother than anything else, he ended up getting diagnosed with cancer also. And he confided in me, but he didn't tell anybody else. Nobody else in the industry knew. So when we were going to conventions and hanging out, everybody was coming up to me going, what is going on with Craddock? Is he going on like through a midlife crisis because he lost his teeth from the cancer? His hair was starting to go away also, so he was getting implants on his hair. He was on a top 40 station, so they constantly are telling you, you got to be young, you got to be young, you got to be young. So he was getting different things on his face, also on Botox and fillers, and people were talking so much crap about him. And like Katie, I was sworn to secrecy, so I had to just take it on and take it on and take it on. And when he finally passed, I just wonder if anybody had the thought like, oh my God, I had no idea what he was going through, and that's why he looked like that. You just never know, man.
That's true. I think the moral of the story here is I thought we were closer.
Well, we're recording today, and don't hit me up. I won't be there.
Good for you.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so you think that Rebecca had it rough the last couple of weeks. Mo, Tell them what you've had to endure.
Are you kidding me? Why set me up like that, man?
We're burying everybody man.
I think we just figured out the difference between a problem and an inconvenience.
Yeah, here we go.
I think we did. Yeah, I had the major inconvenience of being without Wi-Fi for 4 days.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Oh, did you send some like emails to Kristen telling her that you would miss appointments and stuff like that?
I attempted to, but I didn't have Wi-Fi, so I couldn't send the email. That's how down bad I was. I honestly feel like the universe was preparing me for this camping trip I'm going to take this weekend. And for whatever reason, I think this was Thursday, my Wi-Fi just completely cuts out. It just shuts down. I'm thinking, no big deal. I'll just reset it. This happens often. And I go to restart it. Still doesn't kick back in. So now I'm trying to figure out, like, is this a issue like my entire area is having, or is this just a me issue? So I wait and I wait, and the first day wasn't so bad. I'm like, you know what? I'll go to the gym. I'll do things I don't normally do, like go hang out with my friends. I found reasons to be out of the house.
Yeah.
Wasn't a big deal. The next day, get back from work, and the Wi-Fi is still out. Now I'm like, okay, we're going into the weekend. The Knicks in the playoffs. I need to figure this out immediately. And I see that they're saying that there's an outage and that they're aware of the problem and they're working on it. So now I'm like, okay, it's a whole area thing. There's nothing I can do. It's a Friday. I'll just relax and try to find other things to do. My hotspot doesn't really work. Like, it's very iffy. It always is. So
it's not really hot. It's more like a cool spot.
It's a lukewarm spot. Yeah.
Tepid, as you would say. Yeah. It's a tepid spot.
It's a tepid spot.
Exactly. So I'm like, all right. Like, I'm trying my best because I don't want to be that person. Like, I'm always making fun of people who I know they would just be down and out without Wi-Fi. And I'm like, I'm not that guy. I grew up in an era when we didn't have it. Uh-huh. Like, I'm going to be fine. Like, my pride won't let me be down about not having Wi-Fi. Who cares?
Go outside and play.
Go outside and play.
Yeah.
For like the first day and a half, that worked. Then I started to struggle a bit. I was like, okay, I can't really do anything. Like, even if I want to turn my air on, I got to actually go to the thermostat. If I want to turn my lights on, I actually have to go to the lights.
Because that's all controlled through your phone.
Exactly.
Okay.
Such savagery to have to live this way.
This is like living in old times.
Yes, my God. Yes.
You've got like your gas lamp.
Down bad. So what makes it funny is I end up calling. I'm like, is there anything that we can do? They're like, nah, we'll figure it out. I'm like, all right, cool. So then I asked for the, which I also felt horrible doing this. I asked for the notifications. They're like, do you want us to notify you what's going on at every point? And I'm like, yes, I need these notifications to come in so I can know when my Wi-Fi is back.
Plus, you ain't got nothing else to do.
Nothing to do, right? I'm calling people. I'm doing all the things I don't normally do. Catching up with everybody. What are you doing? What are you doing? How's life? What's going on with you?
Hey, Mo, I haven't heard from you in a while. Right. What's going on? Hey, you know, you were just on my heart.
Yeah. Just wanted to check in. I'm thinking about you. I know they're like, what is this dude going through? I never hear from him. A phone call at that? No. So it tells me you're back up. You should be back up and running. So I'm like, all right. I get excited and I go to try to get it back up and running. Restart it. Still doesn't work. So for some reason now I'm like, okay, what's really going on? Because it's telling me that the area is fixed, but mine still is out. So I'm trying everything. And then of course I go to troubleshoot it. They tell you all of the things that you've already done. Like, is it plugged in? Like, I promise you, it's plugged in. I've done the reset. I've done it all.
Like, you're 70 years old and you've never used Wi-Fi before, right? Are you sure it's plugged in?
Exactly. Uh-huh. So I do all the things. It's still out. So they're like, all right. They try to troubleshoot it from their area. Still doesn't work. So they tell me we can get somebody to you in about 4 days.
Four days.
That's the earliest that they can do. Four days.
You can literally take a stagecoach across the country in the same amount of time.
This is what I'm saying. So I'm like, that's not really going to work for me. Like, we got to be able to do something more. I got to actually work. Like, I can't live like this. And they're like, all right, let me check, see what we can do. Yeah, 4 days.
Oh, 4 days without Wi-Fi.
Right. So I'm like, what am I going to do? This is insane. So I start reading books. I'm telling you, I'm living a whole different life at this point.
It's
right?
Like it's 1992 all over again.
Oh, my God.
We're reading books now?
3 days. I'm going to tell you, 3 days without Wi-Fi is hard. Mm. It's very hard. It's a lot harder than you would think. I mean, the first 2 days, I was all right.
Man, think of all the stuff you could get done now. Like, I'm thinking about my house and all the projects that I've been putting off. And if I was, like, without Wi-Fi for 4 days, the organization that would happen.
You have actually inspired me, maybe, and I don't want to cut you off here, but might have inspired me to, like, try it for 48 hours.
That's actually where I'm going.
As I'm going through everything that you depend on, every TV show, the calls, everything is all based on electronics and emails and hotspots now.
All of it. Everything that you could think that you want to do. So I'm like, all right, how can I make this work for me? And then I started doing projects. My apartment has never been this clean. I mean, it is like super clean right now. All of the organizing that I haven't done with like my files that I've been saying I'm going to get to, my closet that I've said I was going to get to, all of these things that I have literally been saying to myself I'm going to get to for months, I got done in 2 days just because I literally did not have a choice. So in my mind, I'm like, maybe I'm on to something here. Like maybe once a week, I should cut my Wi-Fi off on purpose so that I can get things done that I have been saying I was going to do for months because it ended up being so productive. Well, that's the thing. So the only inconvenience, honestly, like real inconvenience was I couldn't watch sports. Like I couldn't watch the Knicks in the playoffs. That was other than that. I was fine.
In other years, not watching Knicks, that's a plus.
They don't make it
but
to the
But now
playoffs.
They're okay.
So it wouldn't matter, right? But then, somehow, I'm like, let me try something else. So I find a Wi-Fi provider that's not mine, but it's of the company. So I click on that to see if that would work. And it asked me to sign in. It prompted me to sign in. And I sign in because I'm like, okay, I can't use my own, but I can use this one. And somehow, some way, that fixed it. Like, immediately, my Wi-Fi came back. It just popped back in. And they couldn't fix it. No one could fix it. They didn't know what the problem was. But that got me right back online. And immediately within that first hour of having my Wi-Fi back online, I knew that cutting my Wi-Fi off on purpose was really stupid. And I was never going to do that. Never going to. Once I got it back, I was all set.
Also, I feel like it's different when you feel like it's still available to you. Whereas when this got cut off, like you had no other option. Like you couldn't get on the Wi-Fi. But if you're manually doing it, like in the back of my head, it's sort of like keeping ice cream in the fridge. Like even if I say I'm not going to eat it, if it's there, I'm gonna eat it.
Because you'll start making excuse after excuse after excuse to make it easier on your life. I had something similar that I haven't been able to do, but it sounded great in my mind, man. And it scared me so much last week. So I'm starting to keep a journal now. This is part of my ADHD therapy that my doctor has given me just to see where my day is going all day. So I decided, you know what? I am just going, what?
Just asking a person with ADHD to keep a journal seems like cruel and unusual punishment.
Well, I think
the focus is lacking there to do that.
No, I think it's just so they get an idea of really where my head is at and what I'm doing with my day.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. It just feels like an impossible task to ask somebody.
Yeah, I haven't done it once.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not one time, and that was an assignment from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So the first thing I thought is, you know what I'm going to do is I am going to put a time limit on my phone now. So we can make all the excuses in the world because of what we do for a living. We need to be on social media. We need to be on top of things. I got to be watching TikTok. I got to have scoliosis on Instagram and see what's going on in the world, right? So I thought, you know what? I'll limit it. I'm just going to go ahead and I'll limit it. So I pick up my phone to do it, and it was so scary to do because now I have a negotiation going on in my head. Like, what can I do? What's a little bit of a stretch? I don't want to fail at this, right? So I put 3 hours on it. 3 hours. And when I'm getting to that three-hour mark and I see the warning coming up, giving myself more time.
you can extend it?
You can extend it. You can't go cold turkey like that.
Yeah.
But it makes me realize, same as you, that we are so tied to our electronics, man.
I really learned a lot in those 3 days as I'm telling these jokes, like genuinely, how often I would go and reach for my phone, how often I would go and try to get on my laptop when it was so many other things in my life that needed to get done. And it really was like a productive 3 days without Wi-Fi, to the point where I think it made me realize how much it impedes me being productive in my life, simply just having Wi-Fi. And I wonder how many other people don't even realize how much more they could truly get done if you had to get it done.
You ever realize just how many times you pick it up even though you don't need it?
Exactly.
Right?
Like, for no reason.
You totally don't need it, man.
You don't need it, man.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
When I sat down to watch this new show on Netflix, I had no idea how triggering it would be for me on so many different levels. You guys watching The Four Seasons on Netflix?
Yes, I binged the whole entire thing.
I'm finally done with it.
Is that like Team U White Lotus?
Is it what?
White Lotus? Okay. I heard The Four Seasons, I immediately think hotel.
Well, it is. So it's a group of friends. So it's three couples. And they all do a vacation like once a quarter. So they do a vacation. So you have spring, summer, fall, and winter, right? And it goes through their relationships and it goes through what they're going through as a couple in their relationship, and also showcases how like their friendships are evolving, right? And they do take these trips together, but something happens along the way that causes the trips to shift a little bit. And then you have something major that happens. And then you have this huge cliffhanger at the end of it. It's a star-studded cast, which is what got me into it. Steve Carell, Coleman Domingo, Tina Fey. And so that's what got me into it. And I watched it and I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did, but it's really good.
Yeah, I liked it and hated it. Abby, I think you have to be at a certain age to really have it affect you. I don't think you, Abby, should even waste your time as a 27-year-old. But if you're in your like mid-40s or older, it hit me on a couple of different levels. How do I say this nicely? The relationship that Steve Carell is having, and the way that his friends are looking at him in this new relationship was certainly an experience that I had, right? Uh-huh. So I'm watching it and I'm being triggered. The exact same situations, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you guys, and here's where I'm so confused. So most of these couples have been married 20-something years or with each other for 20-something years. And it strikes at my biggest fear of being married long term is that they love each other at the bottom of all these couples love each other, but they're so annoyed by each other. They kind of take each other for granted. They're going through real life, which isn't so exciting. They have a lot of tension, right? Sometimes they mull over divorce and then they don't mull over divorce. But what I'm struggling with here, and as I'm looking at my relationship with Amanda and where we're going to be going in the future and asking myself, like, what is realistic and what is not? What I'm seeing on all four of those couples is not what I want, but that really is kind of what marriage is.
Yeah, and also while I was watching it, I just appreciated it because, like, again, these couples have all been together. So it's like a friend group. So, like, you know, Tina Fey and her husband met in college, and they met, you know, the character played by Coleman Domingo in college as well. And so they all, like, kind of intersected, and now they've been hanging out together for 20-plus years, right? But when it came to the relationship, especially the marriage that Tina Fey and her fellow SNL alum, I can't remember his name for the life of me right now, sorry.
Dude.
Mm-hmm. Your relationship can feel like it becomes mundane, right? And you get kind of complacent, and it's lackluster. But that's real life. Like, every day is not going to be exciting and brand new, and there's not going to be adventure around every corner. Like, you're going to get to a place where you are settled. And for some people, being settled can be very scary. And that's kind of where they find themselves. And I'm like, no, this is like real life stuff. And this makes total sense.
So my parents have been married for 30 something years and somehow they still like each other. So it is possible. But from my standpoint, I'm 28. And so this is the age where people are pretty much settling down and finding their person. And what I've learned about marriage, because obviously at 28, most people don't have like real marriage problems or real marriage lessons. What I've learned about people who get married is sometimes they choose people they don't like. They think
they're in love, or maybe the first couple of months are really exciting and they just stick with someone because it's comfortable. I think I grew up because my parents are so happy with this naive notion that everyone gets like a government issued husband around 26, 27, 28. And you really like this person and that you just work through all the hard stuff. I'm finding that a lot of the people that are getting married don't like each other.
Man, that is such, what a really, really great point. I will also add to that, that sometimes when you get, here's my beef with getting married young, and I've said this before on the show, is you don't really kind of know who you are just yet. And you're still developing, and you're developing all the time. So when you get married at a certain age, your personality, you're growing so much and your personality is changing. And if your partner isn't accepting of who you're changing and turning into, and they're changing and turning into at the same time, falling in love and being in love is not the hard part. Being in like, which is the foundation, I think, for love, is really the hard part.
Yeah, I think a lot of people my age have gotten blinded by love. And I'm not saying they're going to get divorced, they're going to be unhappy, but I am shocked at how many people's relationships I've been witness to from start to finish that I'm like, I'm surprised they're walking down the aisle. And it's not that I'm bracing myself for bad news, but I'm kind of like, geez, if you had just had the courage to be single for a little bit, I don't think you're going to find yourself in the situations you're going to be in 10, 15 years.
Man, good point.
I've always been in the minority here, but I've truly never really got the concept fully of like till death do us part. Like I've always felt like it should be more like, hey, if one of us is not happy, then that can do us part too. Because I get it. That you want to be loyal to somebody and you want it to be the rest of your life. And that's amazing if that works out that way. But I really don't think that everybody is built to be in one relationship with one person for their entire life. And it's almost as if that's not the case for you, then you still feel like you're forced to be there because society tells you that it's a failure if it doesn't go that way. But for me, I just think everybody is just not meant to be together forever.
Here's what I'm banking on right now with Amanda, because I've just never felt this kind of compatibility with anybody else that I've ever been with before. I'm banking on that one right there, right? I've been in a marriage before where I thought we were very compatible. And then as we grew, we weren't as compatible. I've also been in relationships where I knew we weren't compatible right from the start, but stuck it out anyway. I'm banking that this one's not going to be as much work because I really believe we're compatible. Do you think that that's wrong?
No, all relationships, I think you should work at all relationships. I think there is work in every relationship. It just should never feel like a job. Once your relationship starts to feel like a job, then something is off.
When I look at these relationships in that show, I'm like, that's too much work.
I don't think, I feel like with all the relationships, it depends on what your threshold is of work. And I think for every person it's going to be different, but like for them, they put in like 20 to 25 plus years into a relationship. So obviously you're going to get to a point where maybe you need to put in a little extra work to get over that hump. And so it just depends on whether or not you're willing to get over that hump.
Sounds like there's a lot of humps in what I'm looking at.
Yeah, there was one person wasn't able to get over one hump.
How is the compatibility you're experiencing with your current girlfriend different than the compatibility you thought you had with your ex-wife?
How do I answer that? Rephrase the question again. I'm buying time.
Yeah. So you said that you feel very compatible with Amanda, your current girlfriend, but you also mentioned that you felt like you were compatible with your ex-wife. So do you feel like there's a difference?
I figured it out. With Stacy, I really felt like we were good for each other because opposites attract. Like she was so good at filling the spaces that I wasn't in and vice versa. I thought that was compatible. I thought our incompatibility was compatible. With Amanda, we're the same freaking person. And I know the pain that she's going through before she even tells me. I can look at her in a room and go, what's going on today? And know exactly what's going on and vice versa. I know before the way to say something to her that is going to be received because I know how I would want it received. We're the same freaking person. It's the easiest relationship I've ever been in. And I hope it stays that way. Because I also think you just get, I've gone through a divorce. I've gone through a broken engagement also. And I think you get to a certain age where you're just like, I don't want to work that hard anymore. I need to find somebody where it's not going to be that kind of work. And I think I found her.
What does the work look like in within these couples in the show that makes you feel like it's too much, or is that giving too much of the show away?
I don't think it's giving too much of the show away. So, you know, for Tina Fey and Will Forte is his name, by the way. For this couple, they've been together so long that they take each other for granted. And they aren't appreciative of what they were appreciative of in the past.
And they've allowed things to build over the years that clearly are breaking them apart and causing this resentment.
And then Steve Carell and his wife, they are just like completely different people now. Like, she's on her iPad playing Farmville and he wants to go out and have like these grand adventures, right? And he wants to feel alive and she just wants to be a homebody. So now they have like zero compatibility. And then you have Coleman Domingo's character and Marco Calvani's character, and these two men, they have like an open relationship and one of them is more suffocating than the other. So they're trying to struggle with respecting who they are as people, but also respecting each other and what the other person needs. So it's, you know, you can see a little bit of yourself in all of the couples, oddly. And it just, there are certain episodes where it comes to a fever pitch and you're like, are they going to make it or are they not going to make it?
Gotcha.
Here is Jessica. Good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. I think this has become more of a philosophical debate on marriage than it is that show of the Four Seasons. What do you got?
Yes. So my husband and I got together when I was 17 and he was 20. And we've been together for 30 years. So we not only grow all together, we grew up together. Mm-hmm. So it was not easy at all. And go your way, go my way, cross our minds like multiple times. And we just got so used to each other and got bored. And it's like the routine and the kids. And I just got to a point that I didn't even like him at one point or another. But now, thankfully, the past couple of years, I don't want to blame the kids, but the kids are out of the house. That kind of helped, believe it or not. It's just us. We're still young. We can do whatever we want. We have a little bit more flexibility on do whatever we want. And when we start watching that show, it kind of hit a chord and we can actually identify, especially with the Tina Fey. It's a mix with the Tina Fey and Steve Carell situation. So it's like we started talking. It's like, are you bored with me? It started a conversation that we hadn't had ever. And it feels good at the same time, but yeah, it's very easy to get into this routine and just, I mean, I will always love him, but I never not always like him.
Yeah, that's exactly what you were saying. It's the like factor right there.
Yeah, I mean, my parents, I think that's why they've lasted for so long. I mean, I think it's been 32, and can't do the math, it's too early for that. But I've never seen my parents get in like an all-out like balls to the wall, emotional fist fight. I've seen them getting some tiffs when we travel because that's a very like, you know, high stress environment if you're in a foreign country and you're trying to take your kids around. But I think at the baseline, like why they've lasted for so long is that they both just have this mutual respect for each other. Mm. Like my dad never talked down about my mom for being a quote unquote stay at home mom. He always talked about her in the highest regard and same for my mom to my dad too. So I think that's why they've lasted the test of time thus far.
I think that respect factor is really important also. Uh-huh. It's a great point.
And meeting the person where they are and not expecting them to be everything you want them to be. I think so often, especially after you've been together for a while, you put these, unfair standards maybe. I don't know. But I know for myself and my husband, and we've been together for almost 20 years, like, you need to meet each other where you are and be okay with that and stop having these unrealistic expectations. And that doesn't mean that you be a doormat or you let them get away with murder or anything like that. It just means like, this is the person I fell in love with. This is the man I married. This is the man I had a child with. I love him for his attributes and I also love him for his flaws because that's what makes him a complete person. And I hope he feels the same way about me.
All right, one more call here. I really miss these long form segments. I like this.
Well, you know, really your name's on the show. If you want to do it more often, we can.
Yeah, the way people are listening is different now, though. Hey, Robin, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We got about a minute here.
I got to side with you, Bert. You know, I was with my husband for 11 years before I was like, what are we doing? Like, let's just get married. And at that point, we had already had two children. And we're better off co-parenting than we are together.
What a sad realization, though. I mean, I've been in that situation before. And just watching the reality of that unfold hurts so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. It stinks. But, I mean, we just get along so much better.
Right.
Co-parenting.
I just want to let you know the only reason why I took this call is because it started on the screen. It said, I agree with Bert.
Yeah, I knew that's why you took it and you wanted to get
so
to
I
it.
So I extended it 60 more seconds.
The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.